live by the justice code. I want you to walk down the freedom road, brown baby. Now lie away sleeping. Now lie away here in my arms. Will your daddy and mommy protect you and keep you safe from harm? Oh, you little brown baby. Brown baby, well, it makes me glad that you will have things I have never had. When out of men's hearts all the hate is hurled, you're gonna live in a better world, brown baby.
We saw black hands scratching hope from a selfish land. As a people wept, we saw black babies cry as an affluent nation passed them by, destroying tomorrow. We saw black dreams dreamed in hellish nightmares as neon-lit worlds planned automated genocide. We saw the consummation as black arms enfolded blackness gladly and stepped from yesterday.
When out of men's hearts all the hate is hurled, you're gonna live in a better world. Brown baby, brown baby.
If I ride with eyes and ears this bumpy life, if I ride long enough through dreams bursting into fragments like a meteor in reverse scattered in the far-flung sky, with no chart, no poem, no fairy godmother, on to death stop, past slippery love, through the chore of what passes for love, then death will be clean blue sea. White waves, churning, dancing, turbulent, and steady, steady, if I ride on, on.
Rockin' my soul in the blood of my soul, Abraham. Rockin' my soul in the blood of Abraham. Rockin' my soul in the blood of my soul. Rockin' my soul. Rockin' my soul in the blood of my soul, Abraham. Rockin' my soul in the blood of Abraham. Rockin' my soul. In the blood of Abraham, oh Lord, rockin' my soul. I know Jesus heard me, cause he spit right in my eye. Said, go away, boy, don't want to hear you cry.
Were I a man, I would scream and tear out my guts for shame of it. Because I am a woman, I sit and cry torture. Stop it, damn you, stop it! Just rolling along, they kill, rape, and castrate the dignity of others. Women like me grope for an explanation. Why'd that white boy hit me, Ma? But now I'm tired of being a woman. Sit and see my child, tenderized by an alert button on a panel, miles further than Main Street, inches nearer than a corner drugstore. Sit and watch pregnant women insulted. Children bravely see their folks herded like cattle into vans, at times going with them. Sit and watch the pompous governors say, I am the people's friend. I am the nigger, negro's friend. I believe in equality, that all men should have an equal opportunity to grub for a living. But I am only a woman, a dishwasher, supper cooking, baby bearing, sex satisfying machine. To hell with that. Move over, brother. I'm coming to you.
So this old fay and this nigger, they at this party. He's bearded, the old fay, that is. The beard being a symbol of northern hipstitude. And has just, quote, made the scene, unquote. And the nigger say, quote, cool, baby, unquote. The old fay and the nigger say quote and unquote because they must obey parlance, the god of interracial love, understanding, and northern mongrelization. So this old fay tells the nigger how he digs lead belly so much. And the nigger say, man, that Vaughn Monroe really turns me on. Stroking his beard, the old fay tells the nigger of his undying love for the dear, dear Lady Day. The nigger says, man, let me tell you, that Kate Smith chick is a gag. The nigger shifts his eyes. You really dig her, man? Asks the old fay. You better believe it, quotes the nigger.
So I said to my baby, baby, take it slow. I can't, she said, I can't, I gotta go.
There's a certain amount of traveling in a dream deferred.
Lulu said to Leonard, I want a diamond ring. Leonard said to Lulu, you won't get a damn thing.
A certain amount of nothing in a dream deferred.
Daddy, 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 all I want is you. You can have me, baby, but my loving days are through.
Certain amount of impotence in a dream deferred.
Those parties on my party line. But that third party, Lord, ain't mine.
There's liable to be confusion in a dream deferred.
From river to river, uptown and down, there's liable to be confusion when a dream gets kicked around.
And he decided he would become president because he was nonconformist, like Mr. Lincoln. Portable, personal shoeshine kit with an extra can of black polish in the White House. He laid out a blueprint. No indiscretion for the future president. He would awaken in the afternoon to sounds Mr. Lincoln wouldn't hear. He would see sights Mr. Lincoln would never see, then feel his hair. He tried to memorize funny stories, become strong enough to spit rail, become profound in his moroseness, grow uglier. He ate little, fought much, flat on his back, and dreamed of black Lincoln Continentals on Pennsylvania Avenue, then tried to cross his personal Potomac.
I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe he's as white as they have him in his picture. You can't stay in Jerusalem for 30-odd years without wearing a hat and stay that light.
Black mother? Alone, after midnight. Someone ought to psychoanalyze her and find out why she's still alive. It's 12:15 and she's still not in bed. Neighbor's radio blasting through the wall. Sister wanted her to do her hair. Lunch is packed. Children all in bed. Landlord drunk out in the hall roaming, and that's not all. Husband's out down on the street. All night pool hall. Look close at a loving hand. They bear the calluses of the white man's kitchen and too many years on the brush. Ernestine Hush. School clothes ready. Morning's oatmeal half cooked. Late. Turn out the lights. Do the dishes in the morning. Seems like he's out every night. Worry has no end. At last in the bed. Meanwhile, down on the street, egg ball in the side pocket. Well, I wonder, black man down at the pool hall, what are you going to do about it all?
Driving down slinky New Orleans turns me on.
I heard the doctor, have you heard it yet?
And it makes me
with
sad. Out in desire, where the jazz city funk floats over the street holes and grooves above the ditches of stifled black cement, and breezy high conch caps are screaming, jumping up and down in their own sweat. It turns me on, and it makes me sad. Out in desire, all beauty and change, rumbling deep somewhere between the stomach and the brain. Oh, the day will come out in the sight. The day will come
to find what you listen. Bow your head and listen to this sermon.
One notices first the buzzing, excited, growing crowd at the curb. They rush to peer over shoulders at something lying in the street. Many in the crowd are youth, children. One approaches the scene. The object of the crowd's attention and horror is a bleeding black boy no more than 6. He had just been hit by a car, someone explained, and jolted back where his head was split open by the cement curb. The scene is a housing project in an American city. It is just before 5 p.m. at the height of traffic congestion. One inquires whether an ambulance has been called. Where are the police who seem to perpetually cruise the project? We called the police and an ambulance, the youth answers, but they said they would come as soon as they can. His expression is despair, hopelessness. Meanwhile, blood streams steadily from the small boy's head, while several youths attempt to comfort him, including the driver, who is a teenager himself in a state of subdued shock. On one side of the dull, reddish-brown building is a canal, which is really a large, muddy ditch, half filled with foul, garbage-infested water, traversed by a lone, ancient wooden bridge, the only junction between project traffic and the main arteries of the city. Since the bridge is small and heavy traffic must cross it, it is always jammed, especially now at 5 o'clock. Parallel to the canal is a railroad complex of 4 tracks. Somehow, the city has never required the railroad which uses these tracks to reroute. Thus, traffic between the project and the community across the tracks and canal, where most of the project community does its buying, may be brought to a standstill at any time of the day or night, for sometimes an hour or more. Imprinted on the nightmares of every project resident is the encumbrance of the train. Other sides of the project are bounded by an impenetrable brush, another smaller ditch, and toward the center of the city, an even larger railroad complex, which no one can cross. The streets in the area around the project are full of holes. The area is covered with broken glass. There is one playground in this area for the inordinate number of children and teenagers, a playground without facilities or supervision. There is no swimming pool, no recreation center. At night, there are very, very few streetlights. There are no jobs in the ghetto for the inhabitants of the camp. Mothers, many of the families are fatherless, work as domestics for the traditional $5 a day plus car fare. There is a war on poverty office in the ghetto, but it doesn't begin to deal with the enormous problems of the area. Problems which stem from being black in an American city and being poor. The people of the ghetto are noticeably black in a city where light-skinned Negroes have always been favored. There are plans for a recreation center in the project, but a teenager will tell you, they ain't gonna build nothing else back here. Naturally, the ghetto is the center in the city of every social ill. Crime, narcotics, unemployment, police brutality, despair, etc. No one speaks for the ghetto. There is no effective protest against the horror of these conditions. Minimal vote, minimal civic activity, no civil rights organization. The situation parallels, almost as if planned, precisely that of Watts in Los Angeles before last summer's riots. Someday, possibly very soon, the city will hear from the people of the ghetto. The city will hear an explosion, and no one, not the political leaders, the police, the good Negroes who have gone along with the game all of this time and exchange their personal favors. No one will understand why. A particularly provoking arrest. A train which blocks exit or entrance for too long. Who can tell what will trigger the cue? Meanwhile, back at the curb, a half hour has passed and our bleeding boy still lies there. The now enormous grumbling crowd wondering where the police and ambulance are. Finally, a silence. The policeman nervously twirling his billy club, pushing the residents back. He's dead by now, someone says, as a stretcher is brought out to take away the small, still form.
It tells you to love one another.
Each man all beauty and change.
Live right.
Rumbling through somewhere between the stomach and the brain.
Just what you sow.
Know the day will come out in the fire.
And you find
the day will come.
Bow your head and listen to this sermon.
For the last 2 years, after every Free Southern Theater performance, we have asked our audiences to stay and discuss the play or discuss the performance with the actors. We think this is very important because a play or a performance doesn't mean anything unless it relates to an audience. And it helps us to get over our point or to get over what we're doing better if we know what you feel about it.
Now, you mentioned the fact about explosion, and I wondered whether or not this would be possible. All I say is that something has to be done, whether the technique of explosion or some other technique is utilized, something has to be done, and it probably has to be done quick.
I think that the program which was presented to us showed everybody here, at least we should have all been shocked. It should wake us up and look at all of these things because we really need to do something about them.
I would like to ask how much it costs to run the theater and also how much support you're getting in the South.
We have gotten most of our support through theatrical groups in New York and in the North. People like Harry Belafonte have done benefits for us, Arthur Davis and Ruby Dee. We have gotten our money this way and also through individual grants or gifts. Just recently, we received a small grant from the Rockefeller Foundation, and this will help us a great deal. We want to build up our support in the South, especially from black people in the South who have money.
Yep. What I would like to say, the only thing I dislike about it is when you say, when this guy said about gold, that he spit. He was talking to me and he spit in his face. But the only thing I dislike about it, I don't think that you should say that. Because gold, they say that thou should not take thy name gold in vain. And I think that more people would listen to it if you wouldn't. I mean, to me, in my idea, I think you're playing with gold. And I don't think that you should play with gold at any time in any way. Now, whatever you have to say, you're supposed to say it, but not to play with gold. But other than that, I really enjoy it.
Well, since thank I you. Read the poem, all I can say is that I didn't write it.
You didn't have to write it, but you didn't have to say it either.
I don't think it is necessarily something which is blasphemous to God, but it is saying it's so bad that it's almost like God spit in my eyes. Well,
and
I,
then
I,
you say, well, God is black, that he was white or something like that. He was white for over 1,000 years. Don't say how you can stay in Jerusalem that long being white. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody have never seen God, but in the Bible they say that God was copper. His Jesus was copper,
mm-hmm.
His color. But nobody have never seen him on this earth.
Mm-hmm. Can we have
God
a little quiet,
please? God still got to make a picture about the niggas, about the black boy being and all that. Don't care make nothing about the white people and all that.
Africans got to say about the nigger when he in Africa and all that? Can't say nothing about a white man and all that there. You got to say about the nigger. You got to say about the white people sometimes.
The comment the young fellow made about too much emphasis on Negro life, on black life in America. What does the audience feel about that? Do you have any reactions to that? That you don't want to hear more, you don't want to hear this much about yourself?
I think really they are not putting too much emphasis on the Negro. They are only trying to bring out to us how bad off we are.
I feel that in spite of all that has been said, very little has been said about the Negroes becoming united, which I still believe, in my own personal respect towards the Negroes, that we should all unite together as one and push further on in the near future to do things so that we may accomplish something in life together as a group, not as one, but as a group, compounding the works we do together that things may turn out better in the near future for us.
This was a performance and discussion by the Free Southern Theater from their base in the Desire section of New Orleans. The Free Southern Theater, as its name indicates, charges no admission. It survives solely on contributions. Its audience is largely Negro, inhabitants of New Orleans and smaller southern towns to which the theater tours. One of the ultimate aims of the Free Southern Theater is to develop talent, acting, directing, and writing from its audiences. To this end, it holds workshops in its theater, providing one of the few extracurricular activities available to young people in the Desire Project in New Orleans. The Free Southern Theater is perhaps a prime example in America today of theater as a strong moral force and a truly creative center in the community. This has been the fourth in...
Thank you. Yeah. Beatles by request, Come Together from Abbey Road at 12:30. You're in tune to the Phil Shea Show on KBNM 99.5 on your FM dial in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Shoulder, and if you give it sugar.